Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Well, hey, welcome back to the great episode of the Geekalixia Podcast. David here with Justin. How the hell are you doing, Justin?
Fabulous. Thank you, David. How are you?
I'm great. And if we can pull Randy away from the distraction that is Moonguard, he will come and join us. Randy, how the hell are you doing?
I am fantastic.
Yeah. How's it going over Moonguard right now? Is it busy?
I'm making gold hand over fist using both my hands and my fists.
Virtual pimping ain't easy. I implore everyone who has an active World of Warcraft account, if you have not been to the Lions Pride Inn in Goldshire in World of Warcraft on the Moonguard server, you're doing yourself a disservice. And if you don't have a subscription in a while, just Google it. You know, not at work.
Just create a trial. Yeah, create a trial account. Go there for free. You don't need to be above like level one to get there. So I'm not sure we're supposed to be talking about it, though, because it's one of those things that like everybody knows, but nobody knows. Nobody's supposed to know. It's one of those unspoken things.
The best unkept secret.
Yeah.
We're blowing the lid off this thing.
It's like Fight Club.
Mm. You should go in with your character wearing a GoPro camera. And record it all.
You got that selfie camera? Do you get that at low levels?
No.
Well, if you have it on one character, you can use it on any of them because it's a toy.
It's in your collection.
It's in your collection.
You got to bring the camera into the Moonguard.
then some big thug will be like, "You wearing a wire? You wearing a wire, punk?"
This guy's got a wire. Like, no.
Then they take you down to the basement and they beat the shit out of you. But there's already people down in the basement getting the shit beat out of them because that's what they're into.
They like it, and you're there like hating it, and they're like, "Oh, this guy doesn't know. I gotta pay extra for this."
There's pee play. Or water sports, as they call it.
I
might be playing a different game than you are.
So people play for end game and for raiding and maybe even PvP. Nope. I discovered something way sweeter.
You went down that rabbit hole and you went down hard.
My goodness.
Speaking of going down hard, what's up with this Han Solo movie? I mean, we're all trying to maintain optimism and excitement with all the behind-the-scenes change, but, I mean, Disney hasn't shown a shit. We got that one kind of, like, promo image type thing. You know, Ron Howard's been tweeting up a storm, but he hasn't really shown us anything. They really need to show us a trailer to get us excited on this. So, Justin, is this just them trying to let Last Jedi have its moment in the sun before they confuse fans by introducing another film in the franchise? Because I was talking to someone the other day, he was pissed that episode 8 didn't pick up after Rogue One, and I had to explain to him that that's not how it works. That's not how the Force works.
Right.
And so is this them just trying not to confuse, because we got a Falcon, the Millennium Falcon and Chewie are in both these franchises, so they're trying not to confuse us, and is that what's going on?
I think that's a fair assessment. While we are super nerds when it comes to the Star Wars, I think you two are in a higher category than me in that little game, but maybe this the general audience just doesn't know the difference. That might be fair. I never really thought about that, because to me it's just pretty easy to pick up, but I could totally get it, and that makes sense. But it could also be that the movie's just an utter disaster and they don't know what to do with it, and they got to make it better, fix it in post, as it were.
Mix it in post. What do you think, Randy? Is somewhere, I guess, in the upper echelon of Star Wars nerddom, as Justin said.
Yes, like you know where the bathrooms are on each level of the Death Star. Super nerd. Well,
to be fair, that's because my wife has a very small bladder, and I have to know where our bathroom is everywhere we go. So, you know, in the off chance I get sucked into my movie Tron style, you know, I gotta know where she can make water.
That's right.
Exactly.
But interrupting you, Randy, what do you think? What do you make of this whole scenario?
Well, I mean, it makes sense that they were going to give it some time and let Last Jedi breathe a little bit before we see anything from Han Solo. But with all the shit surrounding that movie, they're playing it safe. But I think it's come to the point where we're like 4 months out. 4 fucking months out. Let's see something. But I do remember seeing somewhere on Twitter just this past week, Ron Howard saying something to the effect that it's going to be out soon. He said something to the effect that long enough time has passed since Last Jedi came out that something is going to be showing soon, whether it's a teaser or a trailer, what have you. But a lot of people were speculating, well, might as well just wait till Super Bowl. But some people were saying it was going to happen earlier this week, which never did. So.
Oh, that's an interesting point. But the last couple of years, they've been shooting those movie trailers out before the Super Bowl, like the week prior to. Kind of a letdown.
Yeah, and I understand, like, yeah, this all stems from the fact that for some reason the Han Solo movie is still coming out in May. You know, all the other ones, all the other Star Wars movies, you know, be it 7, Rogue One, 8, or the eventual 9 that comes out in 2019, are all December releases, and it works out great. You know, you get 2 months of just exclusive that movie you're doing. And once the buzz starts to die off for that, then you can, bam, trailer for the next movie. Teaser for the next movie gets you excited in Star Wars. 2 months later, bam, trailer and Blu-ray release for the movie that just came out. 2 months later, bam, first full trailer for the movie coming out in December. But with this truncated timeline of only 4 months, is, you know, we always accuse Disney, you know, us being hypocrites and all, we always accuse Disney of just inundating us with shit. Is it just, is Disney giving us kind of what we want? Like, kind of giving us a little mystery, right, Justin, you think?
The spotted owl swoops down and accuses me. I don't know, Dave. I don't know.
Don't you have your ear to the ground in the Disney porta potties?
No, I don't. I don't know what's going on. I'm scared.
Picturing you just rocking in the corner in the shower.
Let's speculate, Randy. Yeah. Do you think that it has to do with their, you know, Last Jedi it's fair to say it's a divisive film. Mm-hmm. It's divided.
Fair to say, but not easy to say.
But hard to say. Yeah.
Do you think that they need to really hit it out of the park with this, and they're really just trying to dial in the messaging and the branding? And now that we're so close, you know, they've missed the window to where we would traditionally see a teaser, and now we're going to see more of that trailer that we would normally see like 2.5 months out. So, you know, maybe in February they can show something, and that'll be the one and only trailer we get for Solo? Or is that too dangerous because if it doesn't resonate with you, that's all you have to go off of, to where normally you'd have 2 or 3 trailers, and usually you'll like one of them?
I cannot begin to imagine what is going on in their minds, but at this point in the game, if we wait any later, for example, if we let this month pass and we don't show it during the Super Bowl or before, I say, fuck it, drop the movie in May with 0 trailers and 0 teasers, and it's still going to make a bunch of money. On one hand, people are going to be like, oh man, this is going to be some piece of shit movie because they're totally not advertising it. Bullshit. It's Star Wars. It's going to make a ton of money. And if they are as worried about it failing as a lot of people are speculating they are, they being Disney, if Disney is worried about it failing, then, you know, hey, who knows? Maybe some sort of guerrilla marketing tactic could work.
Yeah, I think people are scared because it's like Rogue One, you know, yeah, it was a risk, but it was basically a bunch of people you had no idea who it was. And we're dealing with recasting of a Harrison Ford character. I mean, that's it's a tall bill. And if, you know, Aiden Wright comes out and he's just like, no good, you know, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. Maybe it'll help us get a Lando movie.
What if they announce a release date change when the trailer finally drops?
I'm fine with that. I mean, I want the movie to come out when it's ready. If they need till December, you know, that's fine. I get it. I'll be disappointed because, you know, right now I'm like, oh, man, sweet, I get a Star Wars movie and an Infinity War movie. But I would be okay with it if it was to serve, like, oh, we need a little extra time on this. Mm. We realized that we made the Falcon look different.
Mm. Yeah, did you see that leaked Lego set?
Yeah. Did you see it, Justin?
Mm-mm.
Falcon looks different.
Doesn't have the two forks in the front. It is solid.
Yeah, one piece.
What?
Doesn't make a lot of sense because the forks are functional to offload cargo. And that's why they have the forks, is so it can dock for like certain offloading missions.
David, can you describe the process of docking for me slowly?
Yeah, so if you and I were like face-to-face, I would take my foreskin and I would stretch it and put it over your genitals, and then we would dock.
It's warm and cozy.
It is. It's similar to soaking, which is how Mormons have intercourse without losing being impure. As long as they just stick it in once and just like let it stay there, then they're not sinning.
What?
It's like marinating.
What?
Have you never heard of soaking, Justin?
No.
You don't have a lot of Mormon friends?
No.
Yeah, so there, I guess there's a loophole in the Mormon version of intercourse, to where intercourse is like multiple thrusts or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so what they'll do is they'll go inside a lady once, and they'll kind of just stay there, and they'll both kind of gyrate.
Are you trying to put a fuck on me?
So if you don't count that as intercourse...
Google soaking Mormon. Well, maybe Mormon soaking. Make sure safe search is on.
Wow.
It's a thing. So when you guys are done Googling Moonguard, listeners, check
what,
out...
What happened to our show?
This is what happens in slow weeks. Sometimes there's slow news weeks. We gotta fill shit.
So bad.
Well, okay, so let's take it back to the lesson at hand. Donald Glover has been doing rounds for Atlanta season 2 or 3 or whatever.
Spider-Man.
And he came out and said that, you know, the director changed from going from Lord Miller to Ron Howard. Not a lot was changed. He said there were some reshoots and some things were altered, but the overall story and the feel of the story are mostly intact and the same, which would lead us to believe that it wasn't as jarring a transition as previously reported. And since it was not a lot was changed, that could explain why Ron Howard was able to step in and finish the film in such a swift process. So having heard that, does that make you a little more optimistic, Randy?
Optimistic or hesitant about it? I don't know, because if it's going the same direction or it kind of turned out the same way it was always going to, I don't know how to feel about that, because that means that kind of confirms the fact that it is a comedy. Is that how we want to see our Han Solo?
I don't want to see like slapstick, but I would love like an Ocean's 11 like lighthearted fun vibe to the film. I think that's what I would, if I had to pick a tone I want, I would say like an Ocean's 11, that real fun, you know, light, quick, easy to follow film. Is that not what you want, Randy? Do you want something gritty and hard hitting and more grounded in Star Wars?
I don't want it gritty, but I want it. I want to be able to take it seriously. I mean, sure, have jokes. Han Solo's got jokes, but fuck.
My
at
hope
least
is
take
that
it take it seriously.
Lando steals the show. That's my hope.
Oh yeah.
I love Donald Glover and I love Lando, and I really like the. I really hope it open. I hope the movie opens at Han Solo's funeral, like you and I talked about on the way to sing Last Jedi, Randy. It would be great. Opens at the funeral. You got Lando doing a eulogy and saying, "It is one time me and this mother nerf herder, we did this crazy thing," and like, bam, cut. We got young Han Solo. That'd be pretty.
I would love that. I hope they're not gonna. They can't do that. They can't do that because it's what the fans want. And when they look forward, when they look straight ahead, and they say, "Oh, this is the direction the fans want us to go," they intentionally do a 180.
I think they want to get Billy Dee in this, and like I want them to get Billy Dee in this, like, and that would be just the easy, cool way to get Billy Dee back into Star Wars.
Yeah, because clearly they're not bringing him back in the sequel trilogy, so the only way you can is kind of sneaking him in one of these standalones, I guess. I'm still optimistic. I haven't written it off, believe it or not. I know I don't sound optimistic, but I haven't written it off entirely. I think it has the potential of being something special. But I'm kind of psyching myself up. All this negative stuff that I've been saying, I'm not trying to kind of hide behind that common geek thread of negativity that's out there right now. What I'm doing is I'm really trying to psych myself up and prepare for the worst. So when it turns out to be pretty decent, or not at least not as bad as I thought it would be above my expectations.
That's fair.
Great expectations.
I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, why am I excited about the Han Solo movie? And I realized it was because while I love Han Solo, and I think he's a great character, and obviously I love the original trilogy, I was always more a Luke guy, and I was all really more into the Force than the scoundreling. So I don't know, maybe I just wasn't as attached to Han Solo as I thought to her. Like if they said, oh, we're doing a young Luke movie with Sebastian Stan, I would go burn Disney down, probably. But, you know, that's just me.
We already had a young Luke movie.
Yeah, we had three young Luke movies, and Sebastian Stan is older than Luke was in Return of the Jedi. I mean, come on. We would be getting a middle-of-the-ground Luke, and I don't think that's what we need right now.
Well, we got a young Han Solo movie, then, technically, was the major character in the original trilogy.
I know, which is why they shouldn't make it.
But I mean, yeah, but Alden Ehrenreich is at least younger than Harrison Ford was when he made Star Wars. Sebastian Stan is like, what, 30?
Age is just a number, Randy.
He's in his early 30s?
I saw him in I, Tonya, and he was great. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not good. I'm just saying it's not appropriate.
I think Matt Dillon was like, not Matt Dillon, what's his name? Luke Perry. He was like 50 in 90210, and he was doing an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah. Statutory rape on camera.
So there's
you got to pay extra moon guard for that.
So there's that.
Yeah. Well, where do you stand on Alexander Fallon's solo movie, Justin? Are you you kind of on with Randy, kind of hedging your bets? You're not disappointed, or are you you excited for this? You interested to see the direction that they can take it?
I sort of. I remember when we were talking about why Lord Miller got fired, and there was talk that it was sort of in the vein of like an Ace Ventura movie, and that kind of freaked me out. So I was pretty optimistic about it until I heard that, and then it got me a little nervous.
As it should. So, that would make me nervous as well.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea what to expect. I really don't. If it's Fast and Furious in space, then that's fantastic. Except they're probably going to go to space in the next Fast and Furious movie anyway. So, who knows? But it's, like, again, it's,
in space.
It's Star Wars. I love the Star Wars. So it would be absurd of me to not give it a chance.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see that Kessel Run that we've all been yearning to hear, yearning to see.
I have no interest.
In the Kessel Run?
Yeah, sounds boring. It sounds like watching the Tour de France. It's just not that cool.
It's like Cannonball Run, but like, what if they make it like Cannonball Run and it's everyone racing? Boba Fett's got a ship and everyone.
And the Millennium Falcon's really like purple, and then they get it wet, and then it turns like white.
Yeah, they pull into like a galactic like car wash, and it cleans off the fake paint.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah, not talking about fake paint. Also talking about some Ridley Scott. He made some interesting comments the other day. He was doing a press tour for All the Money in the World, and the subject
Wait, someone was giving him all the money in the world to do a press conference?
No. He made a movie called All the Money in the World, a Kevin Spacey movie that doesn't have Kevin Spacey anymore.
Oh, yeah. It has the old guy.
Yeah, Christopher Plummer.
Plummer, that's it.
And it's actually a pretty good movie. It's not... It's amazing what they accomplished in just a couple of weeks of reshoots, weeks before the movie came out. But he said that he had a take, he had an idea for a third Blade Runner movie. Blade Runner 2 didn't do so good, so we probably won't see it. But he also criticized a pattern seems to be emerging from Ridley Scott anytime someone else takes on one of his properties. You know, he was vocal about, you know, back in the day about James Cameron's take on Aliens, which was amazing. But then it became apparent that Neil Blomkamp was going to move forward with an Aliens 5, you know, Ridley Scott really flexed his muscle to kind of push Blomkamp and his film out of the way so he could make his Prometheus sequel.
Which is terrible. Which ended up,
Yeah, which ended up being Covenant, which was not good. Denis Villeneuve, who did Blade Runner 2049, Ridley Scott was kind of poking some jabs. He never outwardly said anything overly negative. He understands how to play the game, but he criticized its length and its reliance on themes that he created in the original. But then also said that he had an idea for a third Blade Runner. So, Randy, you saw Blade Runner 2049. Would you be down for a third entry in the Blade Runner franchise?
Oh, I would absolutely be down for it. I think I'm one of the few that would, though, because I don't think, critically, I thought it was pretty good, but I think a lot of the movie-going public wasn't really into it. So, I don't know. If they do it, they're going to have to tone the budget way down. So, I don't know. It's going to have to be a small, intimate story, which, you know, the last one arguably was, but it showed off a lot of the world. So it would have to just be a smaller movie if they're going to do it, because I don't think they're going to give him the same budget that he had for part two.
Yeah, I mean, Blade Runner 2049 is looks like worldwide is at $258 million on a $150 million production budget.
Thanks.
So that's not good. Usually it's 2.5 times before you start seeing profit, and so they're well below that mark. So yeah, I don't see it happening, but could be fun. Justin, is Ridley Scott becoming that curmudgeonly old man who just bitches about everything that he didn't do, kind of like Frank Miller did when Batman, Ben Affleck was announced as Batman? He said, "Batman sucks."
Yeah, I think so. I feel like we've been talking about Ridley Scott for quite some time now, and I feel like The Martian is the movie that kind of put him back in the limelight. Like, he's always been there, and he's always made, you know, really good movies. He's had a few misses, but I think somehow The Martian just kind of was bad. It was like creating a monster. Now he just, because he got all this praise and he was back to being a great filmmaker, it was a hit. Now he thinks that he can just sort of return to the well and maybe revitalize some of these franchises. But I do think it is a really good idea to have sort of new blood reinvent these franchises. And it's unfortunate that he wants to be selfish about it. I mean, obviously we don't know the whole story, but from the outside looking in, that's what it appears. It appears that he is just offended that somebody else wants to take his properties. Once the buzz gets out there that there's interest in said property, then he's just like, "No, it's mine. I'm gonna do what I want with it." That's kind of weird. It's like, sort of that kid that's kind of a dick at the party. Like, it's my party. I'll cry if I want to.
Cry if I want to.
I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's okay to bow out gracefully. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. I mean, it's an incredible feat. I mean, he's 80 years old. He turned 80 last year, and he still was directing a feature-length film a year.
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, kudos to him, but, you know, I feel bad that he feels the need to put down other filmmakers instead of just being proud of the craft that he's creating. Or maybe that's the problem, is that he's trying to deflect from the terrible outing he's had lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's had some misfires, tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. But what's not going to misfire, Krypton, sci-fi original series. Starts to air in March. We knew it was a story about Krypton during the time of Kal-El's father's father, his grandfather. So
his little grandpappy.
Jor-El's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, we don't know if it's Jor-El's dad. Well, I guess it would have to be Jor-El's dad because they're all from the House of El. So.
Yeah.
So, it's about his grandpappy, and we just assumed it was going to be just this cool sci-fi show that takes place on the planet of Krypton. That was what the first two teasers led us to believe. But this most recent trailer put a little wrinkle in that some hipster dude from like Portland, circa 2017, yeah, off the bus, hands him Superman's cape. A, where'd he get Superman's cape? B, how's he time traveling? And C, why he breaks like the first rule of time travel and tells this guy, like, "Hey, don't fuck this up. Your grandson's going to be like the greatest hero of the universe."
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So, what's up, Justin? Why is this guy? What's this guy's deal?
I don't know, man. I watched the trailer and I don't know. I feel like the world looks kind of cool, but I hated the song choice that they had for the trailer. It kind of turned me out of it. And I hate this Earthling that just showed up on Krypton. I don't understand what he's doing there. Maybe he's going to be revealed to be some other hero in the DC universe. That could be interesting. But I don't know what to make of it. And sci-fi hasn't had their shit together in years when it comes to television programs. Honestly, the last thing I liked on fucking sci-fi was like Sliders, and my dad loved Farscape, and that got canceled too, so I don't know what to make of it, my friend.
Yeah, did you see the trailer, Randy?
I did not.
Yeah, it was just okay. But
and who's like going to be the villains? I don't get it. Like, is the villain just the planet going to blow up, or is there going to be like sort of this, you know, it's going to be like this government, and there's going to be bad guys and pawns and schemers and people that want to rule the world one way and politicians and weirdness, or is it going to be like actual criminals on this planet and he's going to be like an enforcer of type and stop these bad guys? Like, what are we dealing with?
I think it's going to be more the first, because the trailer hints at that, like, they had just put down like a resistance or like a revolution or something like that, and I think that revolution will continue to, like, you know, be a problem, and I think that he's going to be one of the leaders of the current government. I could see a real interesting thing where they bring like Brainiac in, and, you know, it's kind of like Brainiac's raising an army to fight their army, and that's kind of like the beginning of the end. Or even better yet, he sides with Brainiac because he thinks Brainiac's the end-all be-all, and of course, Brainiac is bad. Or we had discussed before the show, what if this guy coming back in time, bringing Superman's cape, is what causes the planet to be destroyed, and so Superman, in essence, is responsible for not only his own creation of superpowers, but also the destruction of his homeworld, so... I think there is potential, but yeah, the trailer just kind of gave me more questions than answers. I'll tune in March. I'll give it a couple episodes try. Will you, Justin? Will you give it a go? Or
yeah, I can't wait. I don't know what to expect, which is a good thing. You know, that sets my expectations, you know, low. I don't know what's going on, and I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
Nice. What about you, Randy? Hearing Justin and I talk about it, is this something, I mean, obviously you're going to watch it because you watched Drivel like Supergirl, so you must want to watch Krypton, right?
I don't really have any desire to check it out, but I will give it a couple episodes. Why not? Yeah. I'll give it a whirl.
Give it a whirl.
Superman's awesome. Well, keeping in the vein of comic books, Tim Miller, who directed Deadpool, which everybody loves because it's amazing, he is actively developing a Kitty Pryde standalone movie at Fox, which is interesting for a number of reasons. A, it's a another great X-Men character that can come to life on screen, you know, like Logan and stuff. She's a very popular character. It's a female superhero, which is, you know, all the rage right now. But Fox, Disney just bought Fox for, you know, 50 some odd billion dollars. So, Justin, you were saying that you were talking about some complications that might come from that. So what do you think Disney/Marvel's plan is for the Fox properties, you know, the Deadpool, the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, and so on?
Oh, man, I wouldn't be surprised if you just get a full-blown reset. They might even use Kitty Pryde to reset the universe. Who knows? Is it going to be a Fox movie, or is it going to be a Disney movie, Kitty Pryde?
Well, I mean, right now technically, Disney has not acquired Fox. You know, there's a lot of legality involved. You know, it has to go through Congress to make sure that it's not a monopoly and stuff like that. So the whole process will probably take about 18 months. So we're probably like 18 months out from Disney officially owning Fox. Mm-hmm. You know, the deal is basically done on paper, so Disney can start doing some kind of things. But right now, Fox is still developing properties. This is actually one of the first properties that we've heard of that they are actively developing since the announcement of their purchase. So it may lend credence to the fact that maybe Disney's going to let Fox continue to operate as a studio. So this could be a good sign. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Fox would not be wasting money developing a movie if they had no intention of ever releasing it. So I think, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, so the very first X-Men movie was in the year 2000, and that was exciting because it sort of kickstarted the whole superhero genre all over again. And, I don't know. X2 is still ranks as one of my all-time favorite comic book movies, and I am going to be very sad to say goodbye to that universe that I know and love. Even it's one of those things where not all the X-Men movies were good. More of them were terrible than amazing, and that's fine. It's just I've always loved the X-Men. When I was a kid, it was the X-Men that represented Marvel for me. It wasn't Iron Man and Captain America, it was the X-Men. That's who I turned to for Marvel. So for me, it's going to be bittersweet, but I like the idea of getting more X-Men, so I would be okay with sort of a hard reset, especially since it's been a franchise that's been ongoing for nearly 20 years.
Yeah, and they could use Dark Phoenix to reboot the universe if they really wanted to.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting you say there's more bad than good. I was trying to think in my head. So there's been 9 X-Men movies. There was the original trilogy of X-Men movies, X-Men, X2, X-Men's Last Stand. Then there was kind of like the decade ones, which was First Class, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse. And you have the 3 Wolverine movies. So I was trying to do the math in my head. I would say first two are definitely good. Third one is definitely not good of the original trilogy. In the second trilogy, First Class is very good. Days of Future Past has its moments, and I enjoy it. Apocalypse was terrible. And then the Wolverine movies, Origins is awful. The Wolverine is okay. You can see what they were trying to do with Logan before they had Logan, and then obviously Logan's a masterpiece, I dare say. So I'm going to give them a 5-4 win-to-loss ratio, I think. I think that's going to be what I...
Yeah, I'd still call that a losing season, though, if it were a team.
Well, it wouldn't get you to the playoffs, I'm sure.
But we still have Dark Phoenix. Dark Phoenix, I mean, that's probably one of the most iconic, if not the most iconic, you know, story arc in comic books. You know,
sure.
The Dark Phoenix is a pretty big deal, and I think they have a chance to do something special. Whether or not they'll follow through with it, who knows? We also get New Mutants, which will also, you know, raise that total to 11 X-Men movies before too long. And that looks like it could be interesting in being a straight horror movie. And I guess if you want to be technical, you could add Deadpool to the X-Men universe. But I kind of more count him on his own. But that's obviously another success in their cap. So Randy, what Kitty Pryde, I know she's your favorite. You love Kitty Pryde. Are you excited? No word on if Ellen Page will return. Doubtful.
Too old.
Does this excite you? She's got an interesting power. She phases through. She phased the Juggernaut. Juggernaut said he's a Juggernaut bitch.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's an interesting character, and I liked her in the X-Men movies overall, but... I don't know, standalone movie for this particular character. Like you guys mentioned earlier, it might be a great jumping off point if they do decide to reboot the entire X-Men franchise. Maybe that could be a smart way to do it, but I don't know. I'm kind of lukewarm about it. So, meh. You get an official meh from me. And it's not me if I don't do that at least. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, we don't have any casting. All we know is that Tim Miller is probably somehow involved. You know, he did a good job on Deadpool, so he obviously has reverence for those kinds of characters. So, but I agree with you, Randy. It's hard to get excited with the idea that someone is thinking about making a movie about a character.
Right.
But it's
in the infant stage.
But I mean,
at the same time, when we found out that they were making a Wolverine movie, it was like, yeah, do it. Fuck yeah. I mean, some characters are just a little bit more exciting than others. So,
I agree. That's why you're on, Justin, because you're you know things. Mm. You drink and you know things.
That's true. And I'm one of the few people that like the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Who doesn't like the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase?
Throw that out there.
I love him.
He's so cool.
I even saw his little Christian movie he just did.
Oh, he's got a Christian movie?
It's like a biopic about how, you know, it's like how Jesus saved his life and stuff.
Oh, well, that's important. Those wrestlers in the 80s did the cocaina.
They sure did.
By the truckload.
Yeah.
Someone had recently, like, on Facebook had, like, put a link of, like, all of his, The Million Dollar Man's, like, best, like, vignettes, the little pre-recorded segments, and I just sat there for, like, 15 minutes and watched them all. It was so great. Like, the one where he, like, rents out a public pool and kicks everyone out so he can, like, sunbathe on the deck. Then there's one where he gets this poor black kid out of, like, the stands and, like, refers to him as a poor black kid and says if he can bounce this ball, like, 15 times, they'll give him $100. And the kid's like, 11, 12, 13, 14, he kicks the ball.
What an asshole. I used to love those little videos. There was one where, like, Mr. Perfect would hit a golf ball or, like, throw himself a touchdown pass. And then there was one that Razor Ramon did. Where it was like right when he started, and
was at the restaurant.
It was like walking through like a farmer's market type thing, and he took somebody's like food, and the guy's like, "Hey," and he's like, "You don't like what I take?" It's the funniest fucking thing. I was like, "Who is this guy?" Love it.
Yeah, really. I miss the vignettes.
Yeah, good shit.
But yeah, I would say Million Dollar Man, Rick Rude, Razor Ramon.
Oh, God.
Three best, most fun heels of
that era,
the early era.
Yeah, Rick Rude, so amazing. I wore a Rick Rude shirt when I went to Raw like 2 years ago. And
I remember. I was like, oh, that's a cool shirt.
I got a lot of pointed fingers at me, that's for sure.
Like, I wish I had that guy's shirt.
Kinda. I know that they were like, fucking Rick Rude, what an asshole.
But they probably smiled.
They did. They did.
Everyone smiles when they remember Rick Rude.
Funny man.
Yeah. But keep it in the comic book family. Got one more comic book related story. Tom McFarlane came out of the woodwork to discuss the always in production Spawn reboot, which Blumhouse is making, and he compared the film to Jaws.
Oh shit!
And he had some interesting things to say about it. Justin, did you read Spawn?
I did. Well, I didn't read all of it. I got to, like, issue, I don't know, 40-something. That was plenty for me. But he was in the alley when I quit reading. I don't think he got out to, like, issue 100 or something. But I definitely enjoyed the HBO cartoon. I thought that was incredible. Like you, I even enjoy the movie to a certain extent. It's terrible, but it's a good terrible. On a Sharknado scale, you know, it's fun. Right. I like the way they do his cape. You know, he's a bad dude, and he has no problem killing people. Spawn is definitely an anti-hero. And I dig it. And I love the idea of this new movie and it being a serious tone. He even said something like, you know, in relation to Jaws, you know, Spawn is, a demon, a creature. He's not, doesn't even speak, I guess, at least in this initial draft or something. And you know, there are some very interesting characters in this universe, and two of which are Sam and Twitch. They're these detectives that are sort of on the trails of Spawn. They're not necessarily looking for Spawn, but they have to deal with a lot of the homicides that happen in this criminal world. And they are two very cynical police officers. One is more so than the other. But I was thinking, one's a fat guy and one's a skinny guy. And when we were just kind of talking about it, I love the idea of John Goodman being Sam. And he's kind of relatable to, like, Harvey Bullock, for those of you that watch the Batman animated series. I think of him as a Harvey Bullock. And then there's also Twitch, who's this skinny little guy with crazy hair and a mustache. And I would love for Sam Rockwell to take that role. I think the two of them could knock it out of the park. They are both amazing actors. John Goodman has gotten a lot of credit over the years. He was underrated for a very, very long time, I feel like. And then, after Big Lebowski, he just became like one of the coolest human beings in the world. So, John Goodman, Sam Rockwell, two of them tag team in this shit could blow me out of the water with Spawn.
Nice. And Sam Goldman. Sam Rockwell, he's coming off his win at the Golden Globes last night, Best Supporting Actor. So.
I'm surprised you haven't talked us to death about the Golden Globes.
I was kind of disappointed in a lot of things in the Golden Globes, so I know you guys hate it, so.
Why were you disappointed?
Oh, nothing. It was...
Tell me. Talk to us. This is your forum, Dave.
I don't want to get in trouble and get hate threats for not suckling at the teat of Oprah Winfrey. I did really like when Natalie Portman got her little jab in on and the all male nominees for Best Director are that made me smile. I liked that, but the rest it was just a bunch of whiny crybabies. But I liked some of the winners. Alice and Janie for I, Tonya. That was well-deserved. I'm tired of everyone sucking at the dick of Handmaiden's Tale. It's all right. I mean, but...
Maybe you need a nap. You're really tired these days.
But, no, I mean, I get it. It's an allegory to Trump. And, you know, people like, oh, let's reward this because it's basically saying, like, fuck Trump without saying fuck Trump. And, you know, that's fine. But, you know, when other much more deserving shows lose out to it, it kind of gets disappointing, and it's the second year in a row they did it for it. You know, I get it, you want to do it once, oh yeah, clever you guys, but to do it twice is kind of a disservice to, you know, their ultimate goal of showcasing the highest caliber entertainment in the world.
Nope.
But yeah. So, Randy, you excited about Spawn?
Meh.
That's two. You only get one meh, Randy. That's two.
Damn it.
Did you ever see the HBO animated show of Spawn?
No, I didn't. I did see the old Spawn movie though. It had like John Leguizamo in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mark Sheen. Yeah. I don't remember much about it other than that. I remember not really being into it. Like, meh.
You remember the character is unrecognizable. I like that part.
Yeah, well. What are you gonna do?
I don't know, you got a list? We can do that.
I do in fact have a list. So, I have a fun list of 15 TV spinoffs that are actually good. In this day where spinoff can actually be a bad word that we associate with poor product and lack of original ideas, apparently our pals over at Den of Geek have come up with this list, basically stating otherwise.
There's at least 15 good ones.
Yeah. They're not like numbered in order or anything. This is just 15 in no particular order. The first one on the list is Frasier. Bonus points if you guys know what it spun off from.
Cheers.
Of course. That was an easy one. It'll get harder.
Did you know that Cheers is, I don't know, I hope it's still on Netflix, but it was recently, but it totally holds up. Like, there's a couple cringy 80s episodes that deal with homosexuality that may not hold up, but aside from Sam learning that his old roommate was a homosexual in that episode, the rest of the series holds up really well. And Frasier, the same thing, holds up well as well.
Cheers has been in my queue for freaking ever, or in my watch list, but I just never got around to watching it.
It's a great background show.
Yeah, for sure. I'll have to revisit that for sure then. All right, next on our list, Angel. Ooh. Spun off from Buffy, of course.
Not nearly as many seasons, though.
No, not nearly as many seasons, and towards the end, not nearly as good either, but it started strong.
Yeah. It got really weird, though.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys can help me out. So, you know, the criticism with binging Buffy has always been, you know, like, oh, the first two seasons are terrible. And so I was telling that to a buddy of mine. He's like, just start on season 3. Is that possible? Am I going to be lost if I do that?
Nope, not at all. Do it.
I might do that.
I mean, the first season's short anyway, but they're not terrible. I mean, they're kind of freak of the week. But Buffy was great in that at some point in each episode, something carried over to the next one. There were a lot of, I mean, that's not to say that there weren't some standalone episodes, but there were a lot of callbacks on that show, and it rewarded those who stuck with it.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah, I think I watched, like, the pilot in, like, the first, like, two or three episodes.
I hated her mom. Her mom's, I hated the mother character on that show. My God. Drove me nuts. to the point where I was like, I'm glad you did.
Spoiler.
The body. Oh, man. That's like one of the best episodes, actually. Not just because my least favorite character is dead for the whole show, but it's just a really intense episode. And when Buffy Summers has a breaking point, you feel it, man. Because she's such a badass all the time, and she goes through so much shit that when she's at her breaking point, you know it's terrible. And it really resonates. And some of those episodes were actually written by Joss Whedon, and they are pretty good. Some of his best work, I'd say.
Wow. High praise.
High praise indeed. So, our next series is one that I never particularly got into. Daria.
La, 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 la.
Diarrhea, cha-cha-cha.
Spin-off from Beavis and Butthead.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah, good shit.
Bonus points for you. You're falling behind, David.
Are we playing a game?
No.
From the list of which I sent both of you?
No.
I'm not looking at the list, though.
I'm not even keeping count, but I just wanted to keep you on your toes.
Oh, okay.
All right. Next one. This one I would rank highly on my list. The Flash.
Ooh. No, wait. Spun does that off. Count as a spinoff from Arrow?
It does count as a spinoff from Arrow, because that is where he made his first appearance.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like The Flash a lot. The Flash is one of my few shows that I look forward to, and I watch it within like a day of it coming out. It never clogs my DVR.
Oh, man. I binge it. Now that I just use the app, that Warner Brothers WWWB app. I don't even know what it's called.
I think it's called the WWWB app.
But yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, that's one of the few CW shows that I actually look forward to watching. I watch them all the DC shows, but that's the one that...
I just hate how everyone's a fucking superhero on that show now. It drives me nuts. Well,
yeah.
Fucking dumb.
Apparently it doesn't take much to get superpowers.
No, it really doesn't.
I don't know if you guys are watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that is... It's not even taking place on Earth anymore.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy is it on the moon?
Is it on Krypton?
No, it's... That'd
be great.
It's on like this space station, kind of,
oh my god,
kind of sort of attached to the ruins of Earth, but Earth has been destroyed, and this is kind of where it once stood.
What?
And humans are they are kind of more or less slaves to the Kree. Yeah.
Holy shit!
Yeah, they released like the first like 20 minutes of the pilot like 2 weeks before it came out, and I watched it, and I was like, I don't know what's happening on the show anymore.
Yeah. It's intense. I mean, I've watched all of it, all the seasons, and I'm like, I don't even know. Like, when it went to space and the first episode was there, we're like, all right, well, you know, they'll resolve this in another episode, then they'll be back on Earth. And then they didn't, and it's kept going and going, and it's been so many episodes now. I'm like, holy shit, they're committing to this.
The girls never came.
Yeah. My goodness.
Is it good at least, or
it's entertaining? I'm still enjoying it enough to watch it.
That's good.
Yeah, I watched Inhumans, which after the first episode I thought was god awful, but it was only an 8-episode season, so I powered through it and it got better. And
you watched all the Inhumans?
Yeah.
Did it get better than the train wreck of the pilot?
It got slightly better. But I mean, they've got good talent. They've got good actors in it. It's just a lot of it I just thought was kind of cheesy and maybe not the best writing. But
you love Ramsay Bolton, so that's why you like
him. Well, I do. He's a man after my own heart.
Hmm. Well, he's after something, all right.
Yeah,
he's a creep.
All right, getting back to the list. No more tangents.
You're right.
You know who you're talking to?
I know. Tangents are a speciality. Alright. Next on our list, The Colbert Report.
Oh, okay.
Spun off from...
Daily Show.
Oh.
Daily Show. Alright. Next. NTSF-SD-SUV.
What?
Adult Swim Show.
Adult Swim, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was a spinoff.
Reno 911?
It's spun off from Children's Hospital.
Oh. Should have got that one.
Should have, but you didn't.
but I didn't.
All right, next one. Both of you guys are going to get this one. I guarantee. Family Matters.
All right, Perfect Strangers.
Which is funny because I don't remember. Now, granted, I haven't watched Perfect Strangers since it originally aired in the 80s, but I don't remember any of the characters.
Hey, the mom, Harriet, she was the elevator operator at the newspaper building. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
In Chicago.
Is Perfect Strangers like streaming anywhere or anything? Or maybe how would one go about watching that these days?
Probably the same platform that one sex show you made us watch is on. They came from another planet, or
they came from outer space.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah. Or, who makes an hour long sitcom? An hour long teen sex sitcom.
The producers of TV's Alf.
Well, pretty much. Oh man, speaking of Alf, okay, I just mentioned last week I was watching Mr. Robot. There was an entire episode where Alf made a guest appearance.
Like the actual puppet?
The actual puppet and voice.
Like as Alf, or was it like the guy?
No, it was as Alf. Because the guy was kind of hallucinating, or he was in a coma, and all of a sudden, like, everything was like an 80s, 90s sitcom kind of thing, and Alf made several appearances. Mm.
Yeah. Vanity Fair, it says that Hulu grabs 90s Nostalgia Crown with TGIF streaming rights, which includes Full House, Family Matters, Perfect Strangers, comma, and more.
Ooh. They also got Lost. Netflix Lost Lost.
I know.
Netflix Lost Lost, and now it's on Hulu.
Step by step, day by day, and then hang on, Mr. Cooper. I got those. Damn.
But Hulu doesn't have a free version anymore, right? It's all pay now.
I have no idea. I quit. I quit this shit.
How are you going to get your Gorse and Larry fixed then?
My Gorse and Larry back on Meepos. I don't know, but. Sadly, it was that era still that had the sitcom theme songs that were always fun to sing along to. That sort of went away.
Sadly.
It did.
Seinfeld just did that.
Oh, it works for Seinfeld. It'll work for us.
60 minutes has like a little ticking sound. It's not nearly as impressive.
They all had very catchy jingles.
Yes. Catchy jingles.
Speaking of catchy jingles, next show on our list, Law & Order, Special Victims Unit.
Oh, I like that one. SVU.
Yeah, spun off from Law & Order, of course.
Dun-dun.
17 seasons and counting is how long that one's been around.
Yeah, I remember I was in college when it started. Fuck, I'm old.
Yeah, my wife still watches it, and she really still enjoys it.
No,
she just is all into the rape and stuff, I guess.
I know. It's like, how many episodes do they need to have about... It's all sex crimes, right?
Yeah, mostly.
What else
in that vein?
What makes you a special victim?
It's mostly rape.
Mostly. All right, next.
Like Raisin Brands. Like, mostly raisins.
I don't understand that that's still good. 17 years of a rape show?
It's got iced tea, you see?
Jesus.
Continue.
All right. Yes. People love Law & Order because they can just pick it. They don't have to follow it week to week. You know? Yeah. Most of the storylines don't cross over, so.
Law & Order, R-A-P.
Ouch. That's putting it a little out there.
It's not even funny.
You know what you're getting yourself into when you're watching that show. Yeah. All right, next. Mork and Mindy.
Ooh, oh, shit.
Happy Days.
Spun off from Happy Days. Bonus points if you know how many seasons it lasted for.
It's, five.
Four. Two.
Seven.
Four seasons.
18!
It ends, like, badly. Like, doesn't Mork get killed?
I don't know. I didn't watch it before my time.
Never seen single episode of
it. It's well before all of our times, but I think it ends with, like, the government getting Mork, and, like, it's implied that he's, like, dissected.
Yikes.
Because, like, the whole show is about, like, the government trying to find him. And like, I'm pretty sure at the end they get him. They get their man.
Gotcha.
No, that was a paintball movie with Anthony Edwards.
Oh, yeah, I remember that movie.
Was Buddy Limbeck in it, too? That'd be great.
It's me, Buddy. Sorry. Right.
We can't help it, Van Dyke. We're terrible.
I got to find shorter list than 15. Going to do an hour
like,
just on the list.
14, 13, 2?
I'm about halfway through the list here.
Oh, man.
All right, next. Better Call Saul.
Oh, I love that show.
I was just going to ask if any of you guys were watching that. I thoroughly enjoy it, yeah. Breaking Bad was kind of, to use an overused term, it was kind of lightning in a bottle, and it's really hard to kind of recreate that. But the cool thing is this isn't trying to recreate it. It's equally as good in a different way.
Yes.
It's an entirely different kind of show, and I love it.
It's fun to see, and it's fun to see a modern show on this list.
For sure. Going right back to the 70s, Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, another Happy Days.
Shamil, yep. Shamazel.
Now, how many seasons did that last?
Oh, it was on forever, dude. That's at least 8 seasons. Maybe more.
I'm going to go even 10.
Wow. 8 seasons exactly. Justin got it. Ooh. First try. 2 points above David.
Also with Michael McKean.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Can't wait.
Pinky, Elmira, and the Brain.
Oh, I didn't know that's a thing either.
Yeah.
I just remember Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, spun off from Tiny Toons. And I know Pinky and the Brain briefly had their own show. And Elmira, if I recall, she was like the crazy one that was all about loving the animals or something like that.
Absolutely.
I couldn't stand that character. And now, oh man, I can't believe somebody thought it was a good idea to do that. But at least it only lasted for one season. I'm going to have to look that up just to see if it was any good.
Probably wasn't. It was probably something that was made like years after the others.
Yeah.
Like I bet it was like more than 5 years after Pinky and the Brain.
All right, here's another oldie but a goodie. The Facts of Life.
Ooh, take the girl, you take them, both, and there you have the Facts of Life.
Facts of Life? With Joe and Blair.
Yeah, and Tootie.
Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah, Mrs. Garrett was the nanny for
Willis. The Drummonds.
And, how about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Now, how many seasons?
Ooh, that was a lot, too. Ooh. That's at least 7, maybe 8. 9! 9! I'll go with 9.
Well, 5.
Justin gets it again. 9 seasons.
Dang.
Yeah, because I remember I was still... we didn't have cable yet when it was still on.
So you're telling me those girls... Those girls were in a...
Joke.
Ugh. Those girls were in a boarding school for 9 years?
Long time.
How they rotated out. And some of them ended up working at the school.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I watched a few episodes of the show back in the day, but I have no modern recollection of it.
Blair lost her virginity on the show. Not Blair. Who was the bigger girl?
Natalie,
yeah. I remember that was a big episode that, like, she put out to a guy she didn't love. And so it was like, don't put out if you don't love them kind of thing.
Oh, shit. I used to love Kim Fields. Tootie. I thought she was gorgeous. Yeah.
And she came back in Living Single. That was a pretty good show, too.
Yeah.
All right, next one. I think we can universally agree this is a fantastic show. Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, that is a good one.
It has its moments.
Now, how many seasons of this one?
7.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
always
7.
With the 7.
Yeah, no points for that one, because that one was a fairly common knowledge within the geek world.
Except poor Enterprise, only got 4.
God, that was so good, too.
No.
All right, next, the Jeffersons.
Oh, shit.
All in the Family.
Yeah, All in the Family. They were the next-door neighbors. And then they
moved, about
them moving on.
Beans don't fry on the kitchen, on a griddle.
Like we up in the big league. That's good shit.
With Wheezy.
Wheezy, yeah. Oh, man, fucking I love Sherman Helmsley, man. And just his attitude towards Florence and how he just couldn't stand her. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. Jefferson's was a fantastic show.
He inspired
me. Before my time.
Yeah, that's true. But it's pretty good. He inspired me to want to have a laundromat. Remember how I wanted to open up laundromats?
I remember that.
That was because of fucking George Jefferson.
You had a pretty strong business plan and everything.
I know. And I think that Lenny Kravitz's mother was on the show. I think she's Roxy Roker. Is that her?
I didn't know Lenny Kravitz had parents. I thought he was just
birthed
from
that's
the earth.
That's his mother, yeah. The two that the interracial couple that always came over.
Uh-huh.
That was his mama.
Oh.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Mm-hmm. The more you know.
Learning shit here.
That was another thing. That had an interracial couple on the show. It's kind of a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it?
Oh. That's it for our list.
Usually you say, the final entry.
Yeah. Are you giving up? Was there really one more?
Nope, that was it. I got to the bottom of the page. It looked like there was more that it continued going down, but it was just junk and advertisements.
I think that's cool that Michael McKean is on two of the shows, Better Call Saul and Laverne and Shirley.
Just shows that if you want to have a successful spinoff, you have to have Michael McKean.
Yeah, he's cool, man. He was in Clue, you know.
He was Perry White in Smallville, you know.
I did not know. That show was on way too long, man. I don't do 10 years. I can't. The Office was even stretching it with 9. That is hard. It's one of my favorite shows ever, but I feel like 7 is the magic number. 5 for me is the 100 episodes, boom. But sometimes the first season is like a half season, so it makes sense to kind of stretch it out a little bit longer. But fuck, man, I'm okay with 7 seasons.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. On rare occasions, you know, you can have a little bit longer, but yes, I agree, Smallville went on way too long.
No good. Then people start having kids, and it's not good. I don't
know. You have to start going back to the well, and you have to start... Yeah, no, it's complicated.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, cool. You got anything else, Rando?
That's it.
Got anything else, Jesto? Trying something that didn't work.
I thought I had something, but I guess I don't.
Sure, we can wait.
Fuck, I don't know. Probably something brilliant, but now I got nothing.
Now you're robbing the world of your brilliance.
I know.
Can you can you live with yourself?
Have you seen the trailer for that Winchester Mystery House movie?
Yeah.
Have you been to the Winchester Mystery House?
I have not. Have you?
I have. I went summer of 89, right after Dick Tracy came out. Or no, it was 90. I went in 90. Summer of 1990.
It was a banner summer for you.
It was. I saw Dick Tracy and then I went to the Winchester Mystery House. And I went to fucking, what is the place with the boardwalk? Santa
Monopoly?
Cruz. Santa Cruz.
Wow. You got around that summer.
I did. I was a little traveling man. I saw Tremors for the first time in San Francisco that same summer.
It's like the Cavender World Tour.
I know. I don't know if it gets any better than that. 1990. I'm going back in time, man.
That would be your Groundhog Day, right?
It would.
Like any day in the summer of 90.
Good shit, dude.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. As always, make sure to go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. And whilst I listen to the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Stephen K. James talking about video games, what it takes to make them, what they do when they're playing them, what kind of smack talk they give to the 12-year-olds who frag them in Call of Duty, all that good stuff. And until next time, we will talk to you another time.